Folks, if you're liking what you're getting from 30MPC, the number one way you can support us is by subscribing to our newsletter. Every week, you only get two emails. On Monday, you get a content roll-up of everything that dropped last week. And on Fridays, I pick one topic and I personally write a deep dive on things like how to cold call, how to run a discovery call, or even how to hire an AE. So if you're liking what you're getting here, take 2 seconds, go to the show notes. You'll see a button to subscribe to our newsletter, or you can go to 30mpc.com/newsletter and do it there. We'll catch you soon. Cheers.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of 30 Minutes to President's Club. I'm your host, Nick Sigelski, and I'm joined with my co-host, Jen Allen Knuth. And today, we've got Amelia Burke, who is an enterprise AE over at Databricks. Jen, why should people listen?
Amelia talked about a topic we have not talked about, at least since I've been here yet, which is using a proof of concept in your sale. So lots of good things to learn. If you've got a highly technical sale, this is an especially good episode to listen to.
Yes. And if this is your first time listening to 30MPC, this episode is your POC. Let's roll the tape. A 3, a 2, a 1. Boom.
Today's tip to optimize your sales day is brought to you by Boomerang. If you get an email and the action required on that email is going to take you less than 2 minutes to do, do it on the spot. It's not worth adding it to your to-do list, having to look at the item, remember what you need to do. That's going to take you more than 2 minutes anyway. So do it on the spot, get it off your plate. Now, we documented our best templates and tips to help you optimize your sales day with our friends at Boomerang, and you can get that documentation for free at the link in the show notes.
Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Super Cadence by Influ2, which helps cut through the noise of oversaturated prospecting channels. If you want to get your prospects' attention, you got to do stuff a robot would never do. One of my favorite plays is getting warm introductions to the accounts that I'm targeting via salespeople who work at that account. Salespeople help salespeople. Another approach could be using Super Cadence to run SDR ads to put a face to the name. Now, we worked with Influ2 to put together a special toolkit on ways to humanize your outreach, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes.
Gong's going to help you run the 5-minute drill at the end of all of your calls today. At the end of a call, pressure test the prospect with 3 questions. Number one, do you want to buy? If the answer is no, why set a next step at all? Number two, when do you want to buy? If it's tomorrow, we got to move fast. Number three, how do you buy? Based on the first 2 answers, I can now adequately decide if and how I set a next step. And this was stolen from the Gong 30MPC 90-Minute Masterclass, and you can steal it too in the show notes.
This actionable competitive tactic from Clue is the trap question. Steer discovery toward the winning zone. If we're competing with a podcast that has no newsletter or webinar series, we might ask a trap question like, how do you figure out if those podcast listeners are making their way to your mailing list? And when you're in a head-to-head, there's no better way to prepare for your next competitive battle than with our trap questions and battle card templates from our friends at Clue. The link's in the show notes.
All right, Amelia, welcome to the show. We start every single episode with your top 3 actionable takeaways. So let's get your 3.
First one is schedule an exec alignment call prior to a POC kicking off. This involves getting permission from your champion for your leadership to reach out prior to the kickoff. So what I would say is something like, I'm really impressed with the level of thought that you've put into structuring a good POC. I think we have a good plan in place to work on this together. Ultimately, as you know, both sides are going to invest a good amount of time in this proof of concept. And I know how critical it is for you to use your engineering resources efficiently. From what I've seen, having our leaders connect prior to the POC makes it easier to justify investment on both sides. Would it be okay with you if my leadership reached out to yours? And then ultimately what I'll do from there is ghostwrite a note to my executive in order for them to send off and ultimately orchestrate that meeting from there.
Beautiful. What's number 2?
2 is to connect with your champion on Slack or whatever messaging app they use internally. So in order to do that, typically I'll say something like, hey, there tends to be a lot of little things that come up as you're evaluating Databricks that can be handled really efficiently with just a quick message. Is it okay if I ping you from time to time on Slack? From there, I'll set up Slack with them and ultimately gives me a really good way to ping them with things that come up as we're going through the deal evaluation together.
I love it. Round us out, Amelia. What's number 3?
Send a calendar invite, not a list of times for a call. So what I do here is instead of sending the prospect an email saying, here are the times that I'm available, ultimately, I will just send a calendar invite. I'll put something like, hey, here's what I plan to cover in the meeting, anything that they might need to prepare for in the body. And then I'll also include, feel free to propose a new time if this doesn't work. And I love this tactic because it's way easier for both sides. Prospects don't ultimately have to cross-reference times between their Gmail and calendar. They can kind of just either decline or propose a new time if it doesn't work for them.
All right. Well, Miss Amelia, we are diving into a topic that we haven't really covered quite so much on 30 Minutes to Pleasance Club, which is why we are so pumped that you are here. So first things first, I always make the mistake of using acronyms and not explaining them. So for anybody who is not familiar with POC, start us off. What is a POC? Why do you use it?
Yeah, so POC is the term for proof of concept. So essentially what that captures is when you get to a certain stage in a deal cycle where it comes time for the prospect or the company to evaluate your software. So we'll give them essentially keys to the castle, a demo environment for them to go in and run some specific tests and ultimately be able to validate, does this meet our technical criteria? And does it also add value to our business and kind of meet those higher level priorities that we have?
Okay. And then just on average, again, just to help us frame some context, how often in a deal are you using a POC? Like, is it 100% of the time? What percent of the time are you using it?
With my deal cycle, it's fairly technical and also tends to be complex. So majority of the time, it does involve some kind of testing and providing an environment to the customer. There are odd times where, or unique times where the customer may not require it, but majority of the time they will.
So one of the things that we were talking about in the pre-show is you feel like sometimes salespeople over-rotate on the customer education, Uber discovery for six calls before they get into the POC. And you said, my goal is to get them to a POC as quickly as possible. And you're doing things early on that start to seed it in their mind that, hey, this is something that we probably should be doing. Can you talk about how you introduce a POC to your customer and like how do you get them to actually commit to doing it? Because it does take resources on their end.
Yeah, it takes a lot of commitment from them, both in terms of resources, time, and then ultimately implementation on the back end as well. So I want to make sure that if we're going to engage, it's well worth the time. One of the ways that I do that is I bring up the proof of concept as soon as possible in the deal cycle. And I'm not necessarily telling the prospect, hey, we need to kick this off tomorrow, but I'm starting to try to get a sense for, you know, what are they thinking about with the evaluation? What are they trying to solve for? And what I've found is if the customer isn't starting to think about that, then that typically is a negative sign because ultimately they've probably done some pre-research. They know what their requirements are from a business perspective. Hopefully they have a top line priority that they're trying to solve for. So they should be taking that next step to already think about if everything looks good from the education and from the demos that Amelia and her solution architect are rolling out. What ultimately could we test to then validate and make sure that this is the right thing to move forward with?
And what does it sound like when you say it? So you get the feeling that, yes, this is the right time. It's the right person. It's the right opportunity. Pretend I'm your prospect. How are you introducing the idea of a POC to me?
Yeah, I would say something along the lines of customers in your situation typically find that they'll need to do some kind of proof of concept or testing in the Databricks environment in order to validate that it's the right technical fit. Is this something that you've done with other vendors and you have an idea in mind for what you're already looking to solve for?
It was just so succinct and so perfect. So let's say the customer is like, yep, we want to do this. We want to test this out before we do a full commitment. Let's do a POC. I presume POC means different things to different people because I've done POCs where it's like, yep, you get in, validate, 10 days, boom, sign this thing. Yours is far more complex than that. And so talk to me about customers like, okay, yeah, let's do this thing. What does it look like, Amelia? how are you framing it? How are you positioning what needs to happen from their end, the steps, et cetera? Because I understand in talking to you, there's quite a bit of complexity that needs to be navigated.
Yeah, the first thing that I'll introduce is documentation. So the mutual document that we'll put together, and I'll say something like, we've obviously done a lot of these evaluations. Some of them have gone great. Some of them haven't gone as great. What we do to make sure that you have a lot of success and you actually are able to test everything that you need to is we'll put together a mutual document that outlines both the timing for the proof of concept, your overall priorities, your requirements, and then we'll actually very specifically outline everything that you need to test within our platform and provide you that documentation. This is also really helpful for when we need to bring in other folks into the evaluation. So I'm sure there are other people on your side that you're going to need to bring in and socialize this. And then there are going to be people on my side, whether it's subject matter experts or my leadership, that will need to make sure are abreast of the evaluation. And so this document really gives us the ability to align together and make sure that everyone's on the same page around what we're solving for and what we're trying to do.
I imagine that who does that on the prospect side is probably pretty important, meaning there might be people that are like, yeah, sure, let's do it, and then don't have any credibility. So what are some of the signs you're looking for to make sure you feel confident it's a good champion to take that POC idea back to the rest of the business? Like, what are some things that you want to see here from the person that you're talking to that make you feel confident?
Yeah, one of the things that I'll do is I'll send them the document in advance and it'll have some question prompts. And I'll ask them, you know, prior to our next call, can you please come with, you know, it doesn't need to be fully fleshed out. Me and my solutions architect can kind of help you fill in the detail here. But if you can start to think about this and socialize this with your team and get feedback, that would be great. And I'm not like super specific there on purpose because ultimately I want to see what they come back with. And whether they, you know, don't fill it out at all or they have, you know, very high level details, I think that's a really good indication of how serious is this project? Are they willing to actually dedicate real resources to this? And do the business outcomes that we're solving for actually matter? And I can tell that pretty quickly based on what details they provide in that document. I think specifically because it's a technical sale, what we're looking for is that layer deeper around the technical requirements.
This is so interesting. So what you're doing before moving forward with that POC is you're sharing a decent amount of documentation and you're sending it. It almost sounds like a pre-POC questionnaire. And the level of engagement that you get in response to it is informing your understanding of like, how serious is this customer taking this thing? What's the format that you're sharing this questionnaire? Is it just like a Google Doc? Is it an email? Is it something else?
Yeah, it's typically a Google Doc.
Cool. And then can you give me a sense of like, it doesn't have to be Databricks specific, but like, what are some of the questions that are in there? I'm curious about sort of the tenor or framing of them.
Yeah, I think business value is the kind of first piece that we often ask about. So with a technical buyer and technical evaluators, those people tend to love to build, and that's great, but we need the business side to validate that the project is actually going to matter and that the technical requirements are going to lead to positive business outcomes. So that's kind of the first piece is, can this technical buyer connect the dots in terms of how Databricks would add value to the organization and how it aligns with their top line priorities for the business? So what we're asking there is, hey, can you identify the, you know, top priorities for your data team? And then ultimately how Databricks is going to help you get there.
Awesome.
That's okay. One example. I can also provide another example of what we'd ask if you want.
Sure. Why don't you give us one more?
I think the other piece that I'm trying to figure out very quickly, just knowing some of the roadblocks that we typically have in an evaluation is, what is their timeline? And the more that we can work back from some kind of timeline that aligns with a positive business outcome or business value, that is the real moneymaker. So an example would be, we need to have this feature for our customers. Instead of them being able to pull a report on a daily basis, we need to have this report show up real time. And so I'm like, okay, great. When do you guys need that feature for your customers? Like, okay, we need it in June. And then what we do from there is we basically work back of, okay, so if you need that by June, then you'll need to implement Databricks by X date. So when do we need to kick off the evaluation? So essentially we're trying to work back from something that matters to the business to figure out, is there like a compelling event or a timeline that we can align to? I think otherwise, often these evaluations won't get the engineering resources allocated that they need. So that's a really big component is, are they going to say, hey, these three engineers are going to be dedicated to this for 2 weeks, or at least, you know, part of their time being dedicated to it.
So Amelia, let's say customer agrees to doing a POC. Talk to me about what the like kickoff looks like of that POC to set it up for success. And then talk to me about the communication rhythms that you ask the customer to agree to so that you can keep your finger on the pulse of this thing.
Yeah, of course. So there's a handful of prerequisites that the customer will need to achieve before they can kick it off, such as setting up their environment. So we'll set up a handful of calls just to make sure that all of those things are in place. And then we'll have a formal kickoff call on the date that the POC starts, and then ultimately set up at least biweekly, if not more frequent, check-ins with the customer to make sure that everything is going smoothly and they have the right resources. The other thing that becomes really important, going back to the original tip, is because those two executives have spoken previously about the proof of concept, we'll use some of the data that we've already collected to say, have that person from my leadership ultimately reach out to theirs and say, hey, you know, midway through the POC, something like, here's what we've learned so far. Sounds like things are going well. You know, anything needed from your end or something along those lines, just to make sure that there's a touch point with that executive midway through as well.
That is so smart. So what you're doing before the POC even kicks off is you're having one of your execs connect with their execs so that you have that sort of higher altitude connection, but you're not letting that relationship die. You're actually having your executive take data that you are uncovering during this POC and having them share it with that executive that they established the relationship with. And this does a couple things. One, it helps them pulse check whether or not the POC is really on track, because they can be like, yo, this is going really well. And the exec might be like, wait, it is? I didn't know that. Like, it just helps get visibility into how things are going and pulse check. It's really, really smart.
Often when things aren't going well, or, you know, we'll run into situations where the resource that's supposed to be working on the POC hasn't made the progress and it's probably going to get delayed. And so we can use that as an opportunity to have my leadership go back to theirs and say, hey, this is what's going on. And then ultimately we can either reconvene or come up with a new timeline that makes sense for everyone.
Now, I don't imagine that you ever have a POC that goes poorly, but I want to ask about when a POC gets off track, where you have control over how you could have kept it on track. What are some of the guardrails or things that you're doing during the POC to ensure that it does stay on track?
One of the things that we'll often do is reach out to the individual engineers or other folks that are working on the POC. So in addition to having those kind of group checkpoints, we'll also sync up individually with folks to get a sense for how it's going and make sure that, you know, if they need more education or they need a point in the right direction, we can do that. Another thing that we'll often roll out towards the end is a survey. And that way we can collect specific information from the users around how they found the usability. How does this new system compare to their existing architecture or the existing tools that they have at their disposal? So that's another thing that we'll use throughout the course of the POC to make sure that it's on track and we don't have any surprises. I think that's ultimately what we're trying to solve for at the end is with this document, with this alignment, with checking in so frequently, we want to make sure that when we get to the end of the 2 weeks, we're all, or 2 weeks, a month, whatever, we're all on the same page around this was a resounding success. And we can point back exactly to the fact that we hit these three priorities that you had and all of these requirements, and that we're not getting to the end and learning that it wasn't a success, or there was something that happened, some issue that we never resolved midway through that could have changed the result and made it a success.
I'm actually going to steal this and use this even for my customer renewals, because I manage all of our new business and renewals here at 30 Minutes to President's Club. And I really like the idea of the survey that you're doing, because what you're doing is you're connecting with these individuals and you're helping troubleshoot during the POC. But then at the end, a lot of folks at the end of a POC, or like maybe even near renewal time, like they're pulse checking with the people that are using the product and actually touched it, felt it, et cetera. And what you do with that survey is you actually do the work for your customer, so they don't have to come up with a bunch of survey questions. You're like, hey, we'll actually do it for you. And what that allows you to do is you can start to stack the deck in your favor with the questions that you ask in the survey, but also you've made it so much easier for your customer to evaluate. So I'll be stealing this from my renewals also, and I'll let Jen ask her question because I see it on her face. She has
one. We're learning to read each other's body language. So you mentioned earlier a solution architect. You're obviously in a highly technical sale. One of the missteps I think many sellers can easily fall into is just deferring to the solutions architect because they're the quote unquote technical resource. So can you take us through like how you maintain control of the conversation even when bringing in other resources internally in a proof of concept?
The solution architect is critical throughout the course of the evaluation and the proof of concept. It's really important to have tight alignment with them and make sure that not only are you building relationships with the customer, but they are as well. They have kind of those one-to-one relationships. I think one of the things that I see people doing a lot in a technical sale that sometimes can lead to negative outcomes is sort of deferring everything technical to a solution architect. I think you should feel encouraged to respond initially and really try to focus on the kind of high level response and like strategic response.
I used to sell like really complex ERP systems to law firms, and they would ask me questions that had a ton of technical depth around stuff like our database structure. And I could give them the like higher altitude version of the answer, which sometimes was all they were looking for. But if they wanted to go super in depth, I would give them the high altitude and say, hey, if you want to go more in depth on this, we can definitely, like, that's my level of understanding. I can pull in a resource. It sounds like you're doing sort of something similar.
Yeah, I think it's important to share an initial POV. You know, it doesn't need to go super technically in depth.
Yeah.
But I think often what I'll do is I'll respond and say, you know, hey, here is the answer to your question based on the how we've seen this implemented at other customers. My solution architect can provide a little bit more detail if there's a layer deeper you want to go there. But I think by deferring automatically anything that sounds technical to the solution architect, you're losing that ability to basically navigate that conversation or steer that conversation in the right direction. It's really easy for conversations to devolve into only technical. So the AE's role really to kind of pull that back to the business priorities and how the technical requirements align to those priorities. There's a million technical questions, so it's very easy for conversations to kind of get off track, so to speak, if you're just focusing there.
Oh man, I wish I could dig in more about that. We're going to have you back on. But to keep the interview from going off track, we got to move to the final question because we're running out of time. And the final question is this, Amelia. We've talked about a lot of really great things salespeople should be doing. Now I got to ask you about a shouldn't. And so the final question I have for you is, what is one bad habit that you see a lot of salespeople exhibiting that you think they need to break because it hurts them more than it helps?
Ooh, this is a big one for me. I think overusing marketing slides. There's certainly a time and a place for marketing slides, but if they're your default, then it's going to turn into a lot of very boring conversations and hard to get second meetings with prospects.
Love it. Amelia, thank you for joining us. Everybody stick around for a 60-second recap coming up soon.
Otter AI's Otter Pilot for Sales gives you the freedom to sell on your discovery calls by taking notes for you. One of the best ways to deepen your discovery is to ask your prospect about the impetus behind their goals. So when a prospect tells me they want to advertise on more sales podcasts, I'll say, well, it's not every day that you wake up and decide you want to sponsor a podcast. What's causing you to even explore this in the first place? Now, we put together the ultimate discovery checklist with our friends at Otter AI, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes. Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Woodpecker. When you're sending a sales email, you generally want to avoid putting punctuation in the subject line. If you've got an exclamation point, it makes it seem like you're shouting at them, look at this amazing offer, and a question mark just smells salesy, so avoid punctuation. Now, if you want to steal my full sales cadence from my friends at Woodpecker, there's a link in the show notes for you to go get it and try it for free.
Here's my secret to being a sales superhuman. It's auto reminders for everything. If I expect any reply from a prospect, I press Command H, and Superhuman pops it right back into my inbox if I don't get a reply in 2 days. That means if you handle an objection, if you suggest times for a meeting, or if you ask for cuts back on red lines, always create a 2-day reminder task and assume they will not reply. So if you want to follow up on time every time, you can get a free month of Superhuman by checking it out in the show notes.
Today's tactic to triple your connect rate is brought to you by Rocket Reach, who provides data that lets you reach out to the right person at the right account at the right time. Every time you're reaching out to an account, pull down the contacts again. Yes, I know it sucks, but the average tech tenure is 2 years, which means 50% of the workforce turns over every year. So look up the account, pull anyone who was hired, and scratch anyone who was left. And one way you can pull verified and accurate data is with Rocket Reach. So if you like this, check out their toolkit on 8 ways to triple your cold call connects in the show notes.
Your top 4 actionable takeaways from this episode with Amelia Burke. Number 1, when you're doing a POC, you should be surveying the users and participants in that POC about their experience. What this allows you to do when you control the survey is you can stack the deck in your favor with the types of questions you put in the survey. And then also, because you're making it easier for your buyer to buy, you're coming up with the survey and taking the onus in terms of distributing it, you make it easier for them to buy from you and you make your deal move faster. Number 2, if you're working in a fairly technical sale, don't shy away from answering technical questions with your depth of understanding, but let the customer know that is your depth of understanding. So if they ask you about your database structure, let them know, hey, we could do a full deep dive with my SME where we spend an hour going through that. I can give you like the 3-level, high-level bullets. Which would you prefer here? Oftentimes, they're just looking for you to show that you know somewhat about what you're talking about.
Number 3, use a pre-POC questionnaire to ensure that the champion is the right person to lead the POC. You're going to send this advance of the POC call to see how much info they're capable of filling out. Make sure to include questions around business value. Often in a technical sale, buyers might not be as effective at connecting the dots on how that project aligns with the business's top priorities, so you want to know that going in. And number 4, do a POC kickoff call to set yourself up for success. Schedule regular check-in calls to understand what's working, what's not working so well, and don't forget to use your executive sponsor to share the data you've uncovered from the POC back with the prospect's executive sponsor. This ensures you don't lose visibility at the top and also helps to prevent delays. Now, Nick, you know what I'm going to ask you? How can our listeners help us out today?
Well, they can help us out by not failing us anymore. Folks, I asked Jen before we did this recording, hey, have people sent you any messages about your hosting 30MPC? And Jen was like, no. And I'm like, what the heck? Jen, you're amazing. I'm so grateful for all the time you've spent with us this year, and I'm looking forward to the years to come. But folks, if you've enjoyed Jen's experience on the show, let her know. Send her a LinkedIn message. And she also posts some pretty smart stuff, and you will learn way more about selling from her than you will from me, and definitely more than you'll learn from Armand. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week on the show.
Today's prospecting tip is brought to you by Super Cadence by Influ 2, which helps cut through the noise of oversaturated prospecting channels. If you want to get your prospect's attention, you got to do stuff a robot would never do. One of my favorite plays is getting warm introductions to the accounts that I'm targeting via salespeople who work at that account. Salespeople help salespeople. Another approach could be using Super Cadence to run SDR ads to put a face to the name. Now, we worked with Influ 2 to put together a special toolkit on ways to humanize your outreach, which you can get for free at the link in the show notes.
Gong's going to help you run the 5-minute drill at the end of all of your calls today. At the end of a call, pressure test the prospect with 3 questions. Number 1, do you want to buy? If the answer is no, why set a next step at all? Number 2, when do you want to buy? If it's tomorrow, we got to move fast. Number 3, how do you buy? Based on the first 2 answers, I can now adequately decide if and how I set a next step. And this was stolen from the Gong 30 MPC 90-minute masterclass, and you can steal it too in the show notes.